In 1927, that takes us to 11 years since Blandin has made the purchase of the Itasca Paper Company, he made an unexpected and surprising decision that's going to have profound effects for the future of Grand Rapids. Earlier in 1913, when George Thompson was still heading the newspapers, he had selected as the managing editor for both the Dispatch and the Pioneer Press a young man whose initial journalistic experience was as a reporter for the Baltimore News. Herbert Randolph Gault was only 33 when he assumed that responsible editing position. Thompson, with his always keen sense for choosing gifted personnel, that's why he'd chosen Blandin, had clearly recognized Gault's newspaper sense while he served as city editor for the Dispatch. Thompson was convinced that Gault possessed the intellectual ability and purposefulness to create a strong and viable editorial policy. And Thompson was right. Gault approached the managing editorship with great dedication and was soon known in newspaper circles for his exceptional qualities of mind and temperament and his policy of editing newspapers in which a complete and impartial purveyance of news was combined with judgment on the events, manners, and currents of thought of his time. After Thompson's death, Blandin retained Gault as managing editor of the Dispatch and Pioneer Press. In his book, Minnesota Heritage, Edwin Emery describes Gault as a vigorous writer who championed individual liberties and noted that both Thompson and Blandin stood by him in episodes involving the paper's fairness and integrity. In December of 1926, at the age of 45, he suffered a severe heart attack while at work. He was rushed to a hospital where he briefly appeared to be recovering, but within a week he was dead. The staff and management of the St. Paul newspapers keenly felt the loss of their managing editor. An editorial tribute in the Pioneer Press stated, "It is impossible for us to express the pride we feel in the association we have had with him and our sorrow at his death." Well, Gault's death is crucial to understanding one of Charles Blandin's most momentous decisions. When Abigail Thompson had died in 1923, Blandin exercised his option to acquire the rest of the stock and full ownership of the Dispatch Printing Company. Now, in 1927, despite his earlier strong statements about owing a great responsibility to his benefactors, in other words, to the Thompsons, Blandin decided to sell the St. Paul newspapers. Possibly, Blandin's growing interest in papermaking and in Grand Rapids had led him to begin thinking of such a move. Many years later, when asked why he sold the papers, Blandin replied cryptically and without any sign of altruism, "For $5 million. On another occasion, he replied to the same question, saying he had desired to lighten my business responsibilities. At any rate, it was the loss of Gault as managing editor that was a hard blow, and it triggered his decision to sell. A Dispatch article commemorating the 100th birthday of the paper in 1968 states that after Gault's death, Blandin said that he no longer wished to publish the newspapers. He said he could not face the prospect without Gault. Well, when Blandin acquired full controlling interest in the Dispatch Printing Company, he reorganized his business affairs. He transferred stock holdings and other assets of the Dispatch Company, including the paper mill, to a newly formed corporation, the Dispatch Pioneer Press Company. The firm's minute book indicates that as of August 3, 1927, Blandin had found a buyer for the St. Paul newspapers. The famous Ritter family, long active in publishing in New York, had agreed to a purchase price of $5 million with acceptance of various company liabilities. The Itasca Paper Company and its subsidiaries were excluded from the sale. Those Charles Blandin retained. So the papers are gone, but he still owns the paper company. Blandin announced the impending transfer of ownership, saying that he had declined several purchase orders because, I refused to relinquish control of the papers to any except those I felt confident would conduct the Pioneer Press and Dispatch in the same high standard of business and editorial ethics which has always characterized their management and editorial policy. He noted that the Ritters would take possession in October and said, I unhesitatingly recommend them to the people of the Northwest as newspapermen capable, alert, and of real convictions. Although Blandin remained as chairman of the board, it was purely an honorary position. He referred to his retirement from journalism and expressed appreciation to business friends and subscribers of these newspapers, as well as gratitude for the hearty and even enthusiastic cooperation which has enabled us to build an institution of which the Northwest is proud. Blandin concluded his announcement with words that must have come as a relief to employees, stating, the new owners and publisher have decided to retain the services of the entire staff. And the Ritters responded, it is indeed a great trust which Charles K. Blandin has reposed in us. They promise to keep these great newspapers independent and fearless. So, yes, that was a very good choice that Blandin had made, and the Ritters would now have a long association with St. Paul. But the sale of the papers engendered widespread comment in the Minnesota press. The Minneapolis Tribune welcomed the Ritters and noted that Blandin had brought the St. Paul newspapers to their present enviable standing, but boasted that the foundation of Mr. Blandin's training in the business was laid in the plant of the Tribune. Well, that was an amusing tongue-in-cheek, because, of course, all Blandin did for the Tribune was to go door-to-door trying to sell subscriptions. But articles and editorials in many Minnesota newspapers dwelt on Blandin's success as a publisher. The St. Cloud Times commented that under Blandin's direction, the Pioneer Press Dispatch became known among newspaper publishers as being one of the most successful and most valuable newspaper institutions in the country. The Times referred to Blandin's career, begun by following cow paths to sell subscriptions and ending with control over the St. Paul papers, as one of the romances of journalism in the Northwest. The Slayton Herald reiterated the scope of Blandin's feat in beginning with so little and ending with so much, and although no price was publicly released, the Herald repeated widespread speculation that the transaction was in excess of $5 million. The Herald erroneously passed on a rumor that Blandin had originally purchased control of the paper for $500,000, increasing his investment 10 times. How astonished the Slayton editor would have been to learn that Blandin's personal investment actually was only $10,000, multiplied by closer to 500 times. The Olivia Times, Olivia, where Blandin had had his second newspaper. Now that Charlie Blandin has sold his St. Paul Dispatch and Pioneer Press, he might return to the simple life and spend his declining years among his old neighbors and friends in Olivia. Blandin must have been particularly moved by an editorial written by his brother editor from the Redwood County days, from his Sanborn days. Julius A. Schmall noted that few people would recall Mr. Blandin as the publisher and editor of the Sanborn Sentinel, and he offered no enlightenment to the long-forgotten circumstances of those bizarre political involvements that had forced Blandin to give up his career there. Once again, Schmall defended the old Sentinel as an active and aggressive newspaper that was far ahead of the circumscribed territory of its circulation, and he described Blandin as one equal to any opponent in editorial retort. Schmall stated, Redwood County in southwestern Minnesota can well be proud of Mr. Blandin's career, having begun at Sanborn, and he bid a farewell salute of best wishes. Yeah, very nice. In northern Minnesota, the Eveleth Clarion headlined an editorial, Grand Rapids Shirley Gaines, pointing out that Blandin would devote a great deal of his time and efforts in the interests of the Itasca Paper Company and without doubt build up a great industry for the Itasca County seat. The Grand Rapids Independent found gratifying the fact that Blandin had retained the paper mill and hoped for still greater expansion. A Herald Review editorial headlined, "Mr. Blandin, a papermaker," stated, "Mr. Blandin's activity, experience, and interest with the cooperation of the public will doubtless build here a larger institution than ever before. It is a fortunate thing. We congratulate ourselves." And Charles Blandin, at the age of 55, was far from ready to accept the Olivia invitation to spend his declining years visiting with old neighbors and friends. Blandin had found an exciting new interest in Grand Rapids. At a welcome to the Ritters farewell to Blandin dinner in St. Paul, Blandin pointed out that although selling the newspaper company was far from an easy task, he had a challenging future to look forward to. Charles Blandin had indeed decided that he was a papermaker.